in Jesus' name. Let's get our Bibles tonight. That's what we believe in around here, is the Word of God. And you hear a lot of criticism about the Bible, but the criticism that you hear about the Word of God is not based upon fact. It is based upon what somebody said. Amen. And we're living in a time when if it's said on the news media or if it is in the internet, then it is true. But it isn't necessarily true. Amen. This Word of God that we have is just exactly that. It is the Word of God. And we don't make that statement or that claim tonight by faith only, but we have facts to back up what we believe. And we can prove to you, I said we can prove to you that this book that we have here tonight is in fact the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. It is in fact the Word of God. And you know what? I just feel like to go in that direction all of a sudden. Amen. I really do. And let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. I believe that's the scripture. No, that's not it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Help me, Brother Doug. 2 Peter 1 and 21. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21 tonight. Praise God. Amen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And of course, after they spoke it, they actually wrote it down. Amen. And I just want to talk to us tonight about the Word of God. And it might be that you're questioning tonight, questioning in your mind, are there contradictions in the Bible? Are there parts of the Bible that have been taken out? Have there been things that have been changed by people over the centuries and the millenniums? And how do we know that what we have tonight is the Word of God and it's going to take us into a safe eternity? Well, I've got good news for you tonight. Amen. We can have assurance and confidence tonight and boldness to know that the Word of God that we have is in fact the Word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. How many is going to try to help me here tonight? Amen. And let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. And Lord, we ask you to speak to hearts tonight, touch us tonight, lay your hand upon this message, and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And it's so good to have all of you with us here tonight. Amen. Good that you're glad that you are here tonight. There are many things that have happened with a lot of folks. We've got a lot of folks that are not here. But we are here tonight, and I believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. There is a lot of negative things that are coming against this thing called Christianity today. Can I just talk to us for just a little bit here tonight? Amen. I want to try to reason. The Bible says, the Lord said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And so God wants to reason with somebody here tonight and to help us to understand a little bit better what he has done and what he has given to us. Amen. What we see in our society today, and not only in our society, but in our world, we are seeing a persecution around the world against anything that is called Christian. And if you want to take notes tonight, you're welcome to take notes. But I'm just going to use that one scripture. That's all I'm going to go off of here tonight. We've got to have some things to help us in our faith. Amen. I said that's the only scripture, but I will quote scriptures as we go through this here tonight. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul was kicked out of Thessalonica. He preached in the city of Thessalonica, and as he preached in that city, they did not like what he had to say, and so they kicked him out. And the Bible says that he went down to another city called Berea, and the people of Berea did not kick him out, but they accepted the word of God. And the Bible says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they had received the word of God with a readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And so when we approach the Bible tonight, when we approach the awesome word of God, we are approaching something with the right attitude. Amen. And that is that we have an open heart. But it's not an open heart to the point that you accept everything hook, line, and sinker. Amen. Where you just take it all in and believe it and follow whatever comes along. That's not really the right way to approach this tonight. We're thinking people in our society. And we are in a generation today that wants to research everything out. And they've got a lot of questions, and they've got a lot of conflicting things in their mind. What is right and what isn't right? Is there such a thing as an absolute, or is everything subjected to circumstances or to situations that's going on in your life? Amen. And it's all right to question. Amen. It's all right to say why. It's all right to question in your mind and to begin to search to find out what truth really is. Because in the physical world, there is such a thing as truth. Amen. They're trying to change it, but there are truths concerning physics. There is truth concerning mathematics. There is truth concerning chemistry. In the physical world, there is truth. Well, then why isn't there truth in the spiritual realm? Praise the Lord. Well, I believe tonight that there is truth in the spiritual realm. Just as 1 + 1 = 2, that is truth. There is truth in the realm of the spirit. There is a right and a wrong in mathematics, amen, whether we like that or not. I didn't like that when I was going through mathematics, especially algebra. I didn't like the fact that there are rights and wrongs, and if you get it off by one number, you don't get any of it right. All the effort you put in is not counted towards you, but you're wrong, amen. I don't like that. But that still stands as the truth of the matter, that there is a right and a wrong. And so where can we go to find right and wrong? Can we go to the writings of Buddha? Can we go to the writings of Muhammad? Can we go to the writings of this prophet or that prophet, so-called? Or can we find truth only in one location? We've got a very subjective society today, a society that says, well, it's about how you feel, and well, try that in chemistry and see if that works. Amen. It just is what is around me and the circumstances surrounding me and what I have available to me that I'm going to decide what truth is and what truth isn't. Amen. If you're low on gas in your car and you're not going to make it to work, so you decide to get the hose out and fill up the gas tank with water. Amen. It's going to show full, and it'll start and probably run for a little bit. But you're violating the principles of truth when you do that. The truth of the matter is, you could do it a million times, and it would never, ever evolve into an automobile that runs off of water. Amen. Because there are certain laws that are placed within our universe. So how do we know that what we preach from tonight, called the Bible, how do we know that it is truth? How do we not know that other writings that we have are not truth, and so on and so forth? Well, when we look at the Word of God here tonight, there's a number of questions that come up, and questions that come up with any religious book that you might want to talk about, especially those that have been around for hundreds and possibly several millenniums. Amen. There are questions that come up, and one of the questions that we get a lot of times is, how do we know that it hasn't been changed? Amen. How do we know that it hasn't been changed, that somewhere down the road that there have been changes that have been made? And obviously in other religions other than the Christian faith, we can go to those and we can go back to times and places where it was actually changed. Amen. Or where there were segments that were taken out. But when we come to the Word of God, there's some things about translation, or not necessarily translation, but the methods of copying. And you're not going to find this in any other place. But in the Word of God, you have scribes and Pharisees. Amen. Now, this isn't a regular Wednesday night service here tonight, but that's all right. You have scribes and Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders. The scribes were people who copied Scripture. And so you say, aha, well, they were copied by human beings, and so there was the possibility of error. Well, there was a special method that the scribes used to copy Scripture. They had to make their own ink. They had to make their own parchment. And they had to wear a certain garb or certain dress as they were copying Scripture. It was so very important to the Jews that if the king came into the room where the scribe was copying Scripture and the king questioned him, he would not answer the king until he was finished copying that particular portion of Scripture. Amen. And so they begin to copy. All right, let's say I'm a scribe here tonight, and I'm going to copy the book of Isaiah. How many knows how many chapters are in the book of Isaiah? How many chapters are in the book of Isaiah? 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. Amen. It's a big book. It's probably it's second to the book of Psalms, which is very large. 66 books or chapters in the book of Isaiah. And so they would have an original copy of the book of Isaiah, and the scribe would start with the first letter of the first chapter, and he would begin to count every letter, every comma, every dash, every exclamation mark, everything, and he would begin to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And he would go through chapter 1 and then chapter 2, and chapter 15, and chapter 35, and chapter 50, chapter 66, and he would get to the end of the book of Isaiah, and he would write the final number that was counted throughout the entire book, whichever book it was, and tonight we're just talking about the book of Isaiah. All right, so then he would begin to copy the book of Isaiah, and he would start with the very first word, and he would say the word, and then he would write the word. Say the word, write the word. Say the word, write the word. All the way through all the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And you're talking time consumption here. We didn't have computers back then and couldn't go to the store and buy paper. There was no way to make copies. They didn't have photocopiers. This is exactly what they had. And so he finished the entire book of Isaiah. And then when he was finished, he would start with the first letter. And he would count every letter, every exclamation mark, every comma, every space, everything. And he would count all the way through 66 chapters, and he would come up with a number. Amen, of the copy. And if the number was different than the original, he would throw the copy away and start over. That was the method of copying the scriptures in the Old Testament. Amen. Well, you say that sounds really good, but is it practical? Does it actually work? If you're any student of history or the Bible, you'll understand that in 1948 they found the Dead Sea Scrolls along the Dead Sea. I was there, not when they discovered them. Praise God, I wasn't born at that time. I know I look a little bit older than I really am, but I wasn't born quite then. It was 55 when I was born. But anyway, in 1948 they found these Dead Sea Scrolls. It was the Qumran Caves, and I've seen them. I've got pictures of the Qumran Caves. And among the scriptures that they found, and these scriptures, by the way, were 2,000 years old. They dated back to the time of John the Baptist. And 2,000 years old. Now we have a copy of Scripture. I actually got to look at that original copy in the Scroll Museum in Jerusalem, or not Jerusalem, but in Israel. And the Scroll Museum, they had a round, it was a round room, and it was lit up, and you could walk all the way around and look at the original writing of the whole book of Isaiah. And they said, wow, we have got something now that is 2,000 years old, and we're going to compare it with the scriptures that we have now to see if there has been any change. Praise God. Anybody have a guess what happened when they looked at that? They found that both of those copies were exactly the same. Praise God. You know why? Because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so we believe that tonight, don't we? We believe that not only because Jesus said it, but we have facts to back it up. Praise God. You say, well, that's really great, that's really awesome, but that's the work of man, and man can have flaws and so on and so forth. Well, let's look at a few of the other religions of the world, and I hope that this is touching somebody here tonight that may have a question in your mind about whether or not the Bible is actually the Word of God. I want to try to convince somebody here tonight that the book that we are preaching from is not some religious book, amen, that a few folks have adopted, but it is in fact the holy, infallible Word of God. And if it is, I'm telling you what, we have something to look at here tonight. One of the things that we can look at in the Bible is prophecy. Everybody said prophecy. Prophecy. And prophecy is foretelling the future. Now, that is not foretelling the future by the stars, you know, what sign you were born under. Somebody asked me what sign I was born under, and they said it was maternity ward. Amen. And that was the sign, that was back in 1955, all right? They don't do that now, but that's the sign that I was born under. The stars are not going to predict your future. The horoscope will not predict your future. It's proven that it is false, and it will not come to pass. Don't put your hope and stock into that. But there's something about the Word of God. Now, when we talk about it as the Word of God, that means that God inspired this Word and God gave this Word to us. And so if God is God, amen, and He is God tonight, that means that He knows everything. That means He can do anything, and He has all authority and power. And so if God's going to write a book, don't you think He would write a book that would be supernatural? Amen. Don't you think He would write a book that would supersede every other book that was in the world? I think He would. If I was God, that's what I would do. At least I think that's what I would do. I don't want to be God, all right? Just for the record, I don't want to go there. Amen. But prophecy, if you look at the writings of every religion in the world, and I'm putting this out there, and you don't have to believe it, but you need to have an open mind and go find out for yourself if this is so. Amen. But when you look at prophecy, you look in the writings of Buddha, there are no prophecies. You look in the writings of Muhammad, there are no prophecies. You look in the writings of Confucius, there are no prophecies. You look at the Hindu religion, there are no prophecies. Amen. I've asked folks that are a part of those religions, and they will flat out tell you there are no prophecies. Amen. But in the Word of God, in the Bible, we literally have hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. Well, praise the Lord. We have hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. Now, when you look at the Bible, what is the story or the theme of the Bible? It is about Jesus Christ. It is the book of Jesus Christ. And so there obviously would be prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. Well, did you know that there are at least 300 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus Christ alone? 300. You're not going to find that in any book in the world. No book in the world contains that volume of prophecy. You say, well, it's just a prophecy that somebody made up by a few verses that are kind of opaque and they're not real clear. No, that's not it at all. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that the Lord shall send us a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. Who in the world could prophesy that a virgin could conceive and bring forth a son? But it came to pass in the New Testament. Amen. It did. Not only that, it speaks of the life of Jesus Christ and some of his disciples. We know that Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. But about 700 years before, in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah prophesied and said that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. That's exactly how he says it. He will be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and the money will be thrown down in the house of God, and the money will be used to buy a potter's field. Amen. 700 years before this ever came to pass. All right, Jesus picks his 12. Among the 12 is one named Judas. And Judas comes along and he decides he's going to sell out. He's going to sell his Lord and his master. And he goes to the religious leaders and he begins to barter with them. They're not interested in Scripture. They're not interested in prophecy. They are just out for their own devices. And the Bible says they came to an agreement, we'll sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And Judas said, agreed. And he took the 30 pieces of silver. And you know that when they took the Lord and they were going to take him to be crucified, that Judas realized what he had done, and he went back to the religious leaders and he said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to sell him. They said, that means nothing to us. You go your way and figure out what you want to do. And he took the money and he threw it down in the house of God. And after he left, they reasoned within themselves and they said, this is blood money. We cannot put this in the treasury of the temple. What are we going to do with it? And somebody said, there's a potter's field over here for sale, and we can bury strangers in it. And so they took the money, and they purchased the potter's field with the 70 pieces or 30 pieces of silver. Well, praise God. All the way to the book of Psalms that says his hands and his feet would be pierced, and that none of his bones would be broken. A description of Calvary that is so clear in the book of Isaiah. Amen. The book of Psalms. And in fact, in every book in the Old Testament, you have at least one prophecy of this great one named Jesus Christ. Show me another book anywhere in the world. Show me another book that has the volume of prophecy that has already come to pass before our very eyes. There is none. There's only one, and it is the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Well, you say there's other prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Yes, there are. There are prophecies concerning the coming of the Antichrist. Amen. There are prophecies concerning the end of time and the end of this world. We need to get stirred up about truth tonight and understand what truth is. It is not relative. Amen. It is not relative to my circumstances. It is not relative to what is going on in the world or what my peers might think or what the peer pressure is or isn't. But truth is truth, no matter what anybody says about it. Amen. In the book of Revelation, we have many prophecies concerning the end times. I won't spend a lot of time on this here tonight, but there is one specific prophecy that says that there will come a time upon the earth where there will be an economic system in which every person will be given a mark, a number, and you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell unless you have the number on your forehead or on your hand. Amen. That's what it says. You say, well, that's far-fetched. Well, I'm telling you what, tonight, all of you have a number, and you can't do anything without that number. Every one of you has. It's called a Social Security number. It would be very easy to take a leap from there and combine the whole world. Now they are actually implanting chips, RFID chips, into people's hands. And it says that it is the number of a man, and it is 666. I don't expect you to believe this tonight. Go and research it for yourself, but you're going to find it's the truth. Every product that you buy, I just grabbed this one off of the table up there, it has a universal product code on it. And if you do any little bit of study into that universal product code, you'll find that there are three double stripes on every single one of them that does not have a number underneath it. And every one of those double stripes are a six. Everything that you scan right now at Dillon's or Walmart or wherever you go is activated by those three numbers, 666. Amen. Why didn't they make it 777? Why didn't they make it some other number? But they chose 666 because the Bible is true and prophecy is in your Bible tonight. I challenge you to find me another book. I would love to find another book, amen, that has the volume of prophecy and see what it has to say. But there is none. Amen. It is silent. There are no other books that are written. Praise God. Praise God. The Jews also believed that the Bible was mathematically perfect. Amen. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this here tonight. You look it up. You research it out for yourself. But don't leave here tonight and say, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. It does make a difference what you believe. It makes a difference what you believe in mathematics. It makes a difference what you believe in chemistry. It makes a difference what you believe in physics. Amen. Praise God. And I'm telling you tonight, it makes a difference what you believe in the realm of spiritual things. Amen. In the early 1900s, there was a man named Ivan Panin. You might write this down and research it out for yourself. Ivan Panin was a Russian mathematician, and he was an atheist. He did not believe in God. And yet there was something about the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. That is that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and with some Aramaic, and the New Testament is written in the language of the Greeks, the Greek language. Both of those languages, the Hebrew language and the Greek language, are known as alphanumeric. Amen. And you probably already know what that means. Alpha is a letter. Numeric is a number. And so, like the very first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, I believe, is Aleph. And it is an A and it is a 1 at the same time. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Amen. And so every word and every letter in the Old and New Testament in your Bible has a number value. The Jews of the Old Testament knew the center word of the Old Testament. They understood these things. They knew these things. These are just some things that we've just come to know recently. So Dr. Pannon, he took the very first verse in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he added it up, and it was divisible by 7. Did you know that 7 is God's number of finished work or perfection? Amen. It is the finished work. And he thought, now this is very interesting. This is all divided by 7. He went to the center word and went to the left and added it up. It was divisible by 7. From the center word to the right, divisible by 7. He took the vowels and he took the different combinations that he could find. And he became very intrigued. So he went to the second verse of the Old Testament. And the same phenomenon appeared in the second verse, the third verse, the fourth verse, the fifth verse, all the way through the entire Old Testament until he came to the conclusion, there is no book in this world that is as mathematically perfect as the Bible. He could not find anything. He went to Shakespeare's writings, which was in Hebrew, and there was no mathematical perfection in Shakespeare's writings. No book, and in fact, in the early 1900s, they were just coming out with computers, and he challenged anyone to write one paragraph in any language and ascribe any number value to those letters and to write a sentence, one sentence, that would be mathematically as perfect as the Word of God. And to this day, no one has been able to duplicate the mathematical perfection of the Word of God. I'm telling you tonight, we have something in our hands that is truly awesome. We have something in our hands that not only is historically, scientifically, mathematically perfect, but we have something tonight that is filled with prophecy. Amen. We have something tonight that we can live our lives by. Amen. Praise God. You know why math works? Because it's in order. You know why chemistry works when it's done properly? It's because it's done in order. It's done properly and in order. And you go to any physics, it's got to be done in order. If it's out of order just a little bit, it does not work. Do you know tonight that God has order for our lives? I want to finish here tonight in just a minute. But did you know that God wants order in our lives? That the reason things don't work is because we're out of order. We don't have an order in our lives. And so what did God do? God gave us something that was in perfect order, and that is the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could go on tonight. I could go on for another hour and talk about things. I could talk about all kinds of things. I was asked to go and speak at K-State. And the whole auditorium was filled with people. And I was speaking on this particular subject. This has been a number of years ago. And we found out later that there were those that were going to come and try to disrupt the meeting because they didn't want to hear anything about the Bible. And we found out that there were Muslims that were going to be there. And there was quite a few of the Muslim faith that were there. And we began to open up the truth that this is the Word of God, that it's not just a religious book. It's not just something that somebody wrote, but holy men of God wrote. They spoke and then they wrote as the Holy Ghost gave them inspiration. And I'm telling you, those that came to cause trouble, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. We got about a halfway through and they got up and left. Amen. They didn't cause us any trouble. I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. Because you know what? The Word of God brings peace to your heart. The Word of God brings order to your life. The Word of God will give you something to live for that is productive and good and long-lasting and eternal. Amen. The things of this world, you can't depend. You can't depend on it just because somebody said it. That's where we're at in our world today. And that's all right, as long as you have an open mind and you're willing to look for yourself and search for yourself. Praise God, because when it's all said and done, you're going to find out that the Word of God is powerful. Amen. And the Word of God is true. Praise the Lord. We've got folks here tonight that have just found the Lord recently, and they're saying, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? Praise the Lord, Brother Mike. Amen. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because everything in our world is focused upon me and what I want and what I would like to have and my life and so on and so forth. Probably no generation in the world has ever had as many selfies as ours has. Amen. That's the generation that we're living in today. But I'm telling you, it's about more than just me. Amen. What's God's will for my life? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. And I just feel tonight that there's somebody under the sound of my voice here tonight, and you've had questions in your mind. You've had questions in your heart. Is there really a God? Well, don't believe me, but I'm telling you, I was at the very same place. I thought as a young boy, and I went to church every day of the week except Saturday, all the way through grade school. But I never felt God. I never knew anything about the Bible. Never read the Bible, but we were religious people. And I remember thinking in my little childish way, God must be a million miles out there. I understood the depths of the stars to a degree. I understood they were light years away. And I understood that I was just a small little speck in this world. And we used to camp out in the backyard. And just in grade school, we'd put up a tent in the backyard and we'd go out there and camp out in the backyard because it was fenced in, you know. And I remember looking up at the stars as a little boy in grade school and saying, why am I here? Why was I born at this point in time? Why was I even thought of? Why am I here? Is there a God? And those questions were answered. By the time I was 19 years old, I was going into alcohol. I was going into drugs. I was going into selfies, if you please. But somebody told me, they said, there's a better way. There's a higher way. There's a way, Greg, where you can have order in your life. There's a way where you can walk and you know how it's all going to work out in the end. Amen. Because you have something that is true. It's called truth. Amen. It's the Word of God. And I'm so thankful at 19 years old, I gave my life to God. And when I did, I'm just telling you tonight, I'm just testifying for a moment here. I remember that all of a sudden when I gave my life to God and I was baptized in His name, when I came out of the waters of baptism, God delivered me of alcohol. God delivered me of drugs completely. And that was back in 1974, all of you mathematicians can figure out how long that was, back in the hippie generation, the psychedelic drugs and all of the stuff that was going on back in those days. God delivered me, and I'm so thankful tonight. I'm so very, very thankful. I'm not worthy to stand here tonight and to speak and to preach and to reason with you. But I'm telling you tonight from my own experience, God is so real. God is so real. I remember when we first were here in Augusta, we just had a very small congregation. Back where Deontay, our song leader tonight, was sitting, was a young boy. Him and his mother came to the church. We were having special services. He had a broken arm, and his arm was in a cast. Some of you were here. You may have remembered it. He was in a cast. We went back. He asked for prayer. We went back to where he was sitting, laid hands on him and prayed for him. And God completely healed him. And he went to the doctor the very next day, and the doctor said, "We don't know what's happened. Your arm is not broken anymore." And they took the cast off. Praise God. Amen. He's not here tonight, but Brother Troy, I believe it was some sort of a stroke. And on Sunday morning, they transported him to the hospital. He couldn't see, he couldn't talk, he couldn't move his right arm or his right leg. It was very serious. The doctors did not know what was taking place. And Brother Reed, who also is not here tonight, amen, went with me. We went to the hospital room and we laid hands on Brother Troy. And when we laid our hands upon him, God healed him instantly, and he began to see. He moved his arm and his leg, and the very next day they discharged him from the hospital. They said, "We don't know what happened. We don't know what's taken place." Amen. I had the opportunity to pray for a Baptist minister many years ago who was diagnosed with a brain tumor. They had the picture, the x-ray of the brain tumor. He was having seizures and memory loss, and we had the opportunity to pray for him. He believed in healing, had never preached it, but now that he was sick, he was beginning to believe that God could heal. And we prayed, and God healed that man. In an instant, that cancer was gone, and the doctors took pictures again. Here's where it was. Here's where it isn't. You're completely healed. Amen. The newspaper picked it up, and they did a newspaper story, a front page news story in the New Bedford Times. Amen. Of a miracle that had taken place. And the doctors that treated him put the articles on the bulletin boards of all the hospitals where they went. All I'm trying to say tonight, and this is just a few little stories, but I'm here to tell somebody here tonight that when the Bible says something, it is real. Amen. It is truth. He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And God is a healing God tonight. He will heal your body. He will heal your soul. He will heal your mind. Praise God. He will heal every part of your life if you will just come to know Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Church, help me, and let's pray together right now. Holy God, we lean on You. We're putting our confidence and our trust and our hope in You tonight. We put our faith in You. But Lord, we know that it's more than faith. We have the testimonies of the things that You have done. We have seen them, we have handled them, we have touched them with our own hands, and we know that it is real and that it is true. God, we thank You for the Word of God tonight, and I pray tonight, Lord, that You will open someone's mind and heart to understand that there is a higher way, there is a better way, and that is the way of the Word of God, the way of Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, for every heart that's here, every question that's in every mind here tonight. Lord, it's not necessarily rebellion. It's an honest heart that wants to know what is right and what is true. Open our minds tonight and our hearts tonight to receive the Word of God, to receive the truth of the Word of God. I'm asking it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Go ahead and sing it tonight.